Hey, everybody, welcome back to StadiaCast. I'm Bill. That's Lloyd. What's going on, Lloyd?
Not much, man. E3 is upon us, Bill. It was a great day yesterday, and I'm eagerly anticipating the rest of the news that's going to drop over the next few days.
Absolutely. If you didn't know, I set up a recap video of the Ubisoft event, like 5 minute, like just the super important bits. But we're going to talk about all of that extended in this episode. Before we get started, we do record this show live every single Sunday over at our YouTube channel, nerdnest.tv. And if you join us over there, you can go head on over there and hit subscribe. Turn on the notifications. You'll get a notification every time that we go live, and then you can join us. I've been going live more often recently, although two days ago, I tried to go live to play some Chronos Before the Ashes on Stadia, and I was probably live for 20 minutes, and my wife sent me a text, "Did you forget something?" And sure enough, she was on her way to drop off her car at the garage, and I had forgotten that I was supposed to pick her up. So I was a giant jerk, and this is my mea culpa right here. We'll talk about that game a little bit more. Also, if you're here with us, there's a bunch of buttons down below. You can check those things out. And if you want to support the show, you can use the Super Chat feature to make sure that we see your message. Lloyd, are you pretty hyped for E3?
I'm muted for once. That's how hyped I am. I was talking too much. I had to mute myself. I'm incredibly hyped to see what happens today with the Microsoft briefing, what happens on Tuesday with Nintendo, and then all the stuff that's going to fill the cracks between now and then. Mm-hmm. We got some logos, Bill. There's logo gate isn't a thing anymore, I guess. We got logos. So we'll be interesting to see what kind of happens over the next few days if we get any more Stadia logos.
Yeah. We'll talk about those logos in just a second, but Lloyd, what have you been playing this week, my friend?
On Stadia, I've only been playing Blue Fire. Game Builder Garage came out on Nintendo, and that's been taking up my time for the rest of the time. But I've been playing a little bit more Blue Fire. I did a stream. A bunch of people came out and watched me die multiple times over and over and over again. I was in the sewery kind of area with the slime water, and I had to get to a platform, and I just couldn't do it. I eventually did it because I had people like Ruben in chat cheering me on, I made it, beat that level, got through it, and I love the game, man. I know you're not a huge fan, but I loved Celeste. I loved the platforming in Celeste, and that is kind of what Blue Fire is to me. You're going across platforms. If you screw up, it's not that big of a deal because there's instant restarts to kind of the loose checkpoint to where you are. It's been fun exploring, finding out what all the different powers are. I met a guy that wanted me to go capture essences, and I had to figure out what all that stuff meant. So now I'm on a hunt to capture essences, which in this game are kind of your upgrades. You can pick a certain number of essences that give you double jump, extra boost time, all that fun stuff. So the game is incredibly deep, a lot deeper than I thought it would be. So I'm very, very much enjoying Blue Fire here on Google Stadia.
I have been playing Chronos, more of it, and there was a moment, and I'm gonna say something that it's not like story spoilery. It's like there's a puzzle spoiler that I'm gonna say, and I'm not going to be super specific. But there's a very, so like just skip forward 30 seconds or mute me for 30 seconds if you don't want to hear this. But oh my God, this game has blown me away with moments that completely surprised me out of left field. So I found this doorway, and there was like a little puzzle piece in order to open the doorway, and I couldn't figure it out. And finally, once I figured it out, or I found that puzzle piece, I was still like struggling to figure out what I was supposed to do. But then I happened to be in a room, and I looked at a bookcase. And when I looked at the bookcase, I saw that there was another doorway inside that bookcase. And I could see like the runes that I needed to use. So I went back to the like mirror doorway. I put in those runes, and then I stepped through it, and I came out through the door in the bookcase as a little itty-bitty tiny person. And that kind of thing completely blew my mind.
Wow.
And then I found another door, and I was able to go through that, and I came out as a giant and fought a giant. Like, that game is very cool. I'm starting to unlock a bunch of different weapons. Like, I started off with, like, a typical sword and board. I believe, if I remember correctly, at the beginning of the game, you get to pick what, like, weapon you want to use. And I chose a sword, but now I've been using a hammer and a morning star and a spear and all of this stuff. And as you, you know, as you keep dying, because the game is pretty hard, you keep getting older. And I didn't notice it because the camera's always behind me, but my character is growing a beard. Like, he's like, I think he's 40 something at this point. And so now he's got a beard. He has wrinkles in his face. He's starting to get older. It's starting to cost me more points in order to put points into strength. And it's starting to cost me less points to put points into arcane as I level up. It's such a cool mechanic, and anybody who has not played this game has to play it. It's so good, and it's the only game that I've played this week. I played a little bit of Knockout Kings on my Xbox, but every moment that I can sit down and play Chronos, that's the game that I've been playing. I just beat a big boss called the Red Queen or something like that, and she killed me probably like three times, so that it took me 3 years to beat her because I kept getting older. But you know, as you get older, you unlock more abilities that because you're more experienced. It's just such a cool mechanic that makes death, when you die in your early decade, is very upsetting. When you die in the later decade, the later part of a decade, you're like, all right, well, at least I'm closer to that next big skill that I get to pick from. They'll always give you three, and you're like, all right, I want one of these three. Now, I have not yet gotten to a point where I'm worried about what's going to happen once my character's like 80 years old or something, and I, like, can my character become too old and then I can't finish the game? I don't know. It's an incredible game. I'm so happy with it.
I was going to say, if Watch Dogs Legion taught you anything, is that 80-year-old people can destroy fools. So there should be no problem when you get that old in the game.
All right.
Cool mechanic. It's unique. I really love the mechanic, and I need to play around with Chronos a lot more than I have. I need to give it a better college try, because I quickly got in and said, okay, this is cool, but then other things came up. But with you talking about it, and a lot of people in our community talking about it, and really enjoying it, I think I really need to jump in and play more Chronos.
Yeah. Well, you made a perfect segue, so I think let's go ahead and segue to that. You mentioned Watch Dogs Legion, which is a Ubisoft game, and we got a bunch of Ubisoft announcements yesterday. Why don't we skip the other stuff, and we'll come back to the other stuff, and we'll talk about those announcements. There were a lot of Stadia announcements for Ubisoft yesterday. Not a huge surprise. Ubisoft, I've said it. I'm going to say it multiple ways. All right, so just be used to that. Ubisoft, they've been in since the beginning. Like, they've been part. They were part of Project Stream. They clearly understand that the best way for them to sell their games to the widest number of people is to be available to people, whether they have fancy high-end PCs or consoles or not. And for that, I absolutely applaud them. And I think that over time, more and more developers are going to fall into that category, mostly because I think, you know, Ubisoft has been doing this for a long time. So that means their engines have all been, like, all their engines are working on Stadia and on the cloud, which means that it's easier for them to make those ports, while everybody else was kind of caught flat-footed. So I still say that Stadia is doing great, and we are going into the future, you're just going to keep getting more and more publishers saying, yeah, our games are coming to the cloud. Why? Because it's profitable. It's absolutely profitable. So All right, let's talk about the announcements. I want to start with a game that I did not expect to be excited about. That was Rainbow Six Extraction. This is Rainbow Six. Immediately, I was like, I don't care. But then they said it's PvE, and they showed off the gameplay where you are fighting against this weird alien parasite, and it's you and a team of up to two other people, and you have like these, I think they're like these heroes that are from the Rainbow Six franchise, and they all have like different abilities that you can use, but if somebody gets caught by the enemy, then you can't use that character again until you and your friends go and rescue them. And if everybody gets caught, then you're kind of beat, almost like the game that you and I have been playing on Stadia lately, where it's like the top down, Gods Will Fall, almost like Gods Will Fall, where you have a team of people to choose from, and as you go into this dungeon, those people get picked off one at a time, and if you run out, then it's game over. I think this is an incredible concept, and the gameplay looked fantastic. What did you think of Rainbow Six Extraction?
Rainbow Six Extraction looks really good. But before I get into that, I just want to go back to kind of like the overall events, just to touch on a couple things. We saw the logo a lot. We also saw the logo during the talk that the one developer was saying about, we want gamers all over. And there was logos flying by. There was the Xbox and PlayStation and Stadia and Luna. In looking at Ubisoft's website, it almost seems like when they say that there's a cloud-ready game, that they're pointing directly to Stadia. They're not pointing to any of the other cloud services. And when Google was talking about white labeling Stadia, we kind of chatted about how that would work. And it seems like that is how it's working. Ubisoft is saying all of our stuff is going to be in the cloud, which is an assumption that it's going to be on Stadia. But they're not talking about all the various platforms at all the time. They just say it's going to be cloud ready, and then the logos come up, which I really like, compared to pretty much every other video, even with games that we have a good idea that they're going to be coming to cloud. There's no cloud logos. There's no Stadia logo. There's no Luna logo. There's no GFN logo. There's Xbox, PlayStation, whatever. So it was really nice to see Ubisoft treating cloud as another set of platforms that they can bring their games to, not just ignoring it until the game gets released and LogoGate breaks out all over on Twitter. So that was really good to see.
Yeah, I mean, people in chat are saying the logos matter. They don't matter to me. I am going to play the games that I'm interested in on the platforms that they are on. I also have the benefit of, in my house, I have all of the platforms. I have access to a PlayStation 5. I have access to an Xbox Series X. Not everybody has that. So I understand why people are like, okay, I want this game on the platform that I want to play it on. And I totally get that. And I agree with that. But for me, the way I look at it is, there is no shortage of games. So if a game that I want to play is not going to be on the platform that I want to play it on, then I just won't play that game. I'll play something else. And for example, yes, I do have access to a PS5. It's downstairs. It belongs to my son. I almost never touch that thing. He just got, for his birthday, he got Spider-Man Miles Morales. I probably won't play that because I don't play on that. Like, if that was on my Xbox, I would play it. If that was on Stadia, I would play it. But it's only on PlayStation, so I probably will just pass on it. And I'm really not that upset about it because I have a mountain of games to play. There's just everywhere. We're surrounded by so many games. So when a game doesn't come to the platform that you want, I'd like to say, avoid worrying about the things that you don't have and just enjoy the things that you do have. And that's how I look at it.
And I agree with you 100%, we're very much outliers. We're not the normal consumers where they make their buying decisions based on future products that they want. So I understand why not seeing a logo on some big game like a Call of Duty or Battlefield, as just happened, is upsetting to the community because they want to know that they're going to be able to play this game on the platform that they chose. So Ubisoft supporting it was a really good thing in my books. But anyway, back to Rainbow Six Extraction. I've never played Rainbow Six Siege. It's a game that has been played in my house, but I have not been the one playing it. From what I understand, my son enjoys it and or has enjoyed it in the past. Seeing Extraction was kind of weird. To me, it looked like a separate mode for Rainbow Six. It didn't seem like its own game. But then as we got through the video, it seemed more and more and more and more like it's going to be a big, bigger game, not just an add-on, a DLC. And then it dropped after the event that it's going to be a full $80 Canadian full retail title, which I thought was a little bit surprising. But besides that, the game itself looks really interesting. It's three people versus all the slime creatures. When you die, your person is stuck and has to be rescued. Brings back a lot of memories for me of like Left 4 Dead and some of the other games that I used to play co-op with my buddies when I did a lot of co-op gaming. This seems like a game that I could really get into. If the Stadia version has Stream Connect, this is going to be the game that I'm going to get into. Like if you could see what's happening with all your teammates while taking on the big slime creatures, I really, really want to play this game. So hopefully as we get closer to September 16th when the game comes out, we'll get some more functionality kind of announcements saying that, yeah, it's going to support Stream Connect. It's going to support state share if you want to share your favorite loadout or whatever features they can bake into it, because we know that Ubisoft tends to support a lot of the Stadia features mm-hmm. in some of the games, but not all the features in all the games. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens with this with Extraction when it finally drops.
This is absolutely the perfect game for both Stream Connect and Crowdplay. So yep. Like if you were streaming on our YouTube channel, people could get in chat and they could be like, oh, okay, I'm going to join Lloyd on this mission. And then you guys could go through, finish the mission. All right, I'm going to do another mission. We'll get two new people in here. Let's keep this going. That's awesome. And the idea of being able to see everybody's screen at the same time, that's perfect for this kind of co-op game. Definitely. I'm all for this game because it's co-op and not PvP. I'm not interested in Rainbow Six Siege, although I suppose we should probably talk about Rainbow Six Siege because
yeah.
They had a pretty big announcement about that too, where they discussed crossplay, and I'm not super happy with this particular implementation. Although maybe there's more information coming that will abate my reservations. So okay. when they showed it off, they said, okay, crossplay is coming at the end of this month, and it's going to be PC, Luna, and Stadia are all getting crossplay at the end of this month. Then coming in 2022, yeah, 2022. Coming in 2022, Xbox and PlayStation will then get their own version of crossplay, but it's not going to be a merger of all of those. And here's my problem with it.
I believe it is. I think that is they're announcing kind of the two stages of rollout. It eventually is going to get to the point where everybody is going to be in the same crossplay, but they're slowly rolling it out because it's such a huge game.
I don't think that's true. I think that you're mistaken about that, but I hope that you're right. I hope that you're right because what it
seems
like...
I'll dig
up
the article.
Huh?
I'll dig up the article while you're talking.
Okay, good. My problem with the way that my understanding is, and hopefully I am dead wrong on this, I really hope Lloyd's right, is if I'm a controller guy, I don't want to be up against people who are on mouse and keyboard. And the better way is to merge all of the platforms, and then if you're playing on a controller, have you playing against people on controller. If you're playing on mouse and keyboard, have you play against people on mouse and keyboard. And it didn't seem like that's what they were saying when they said it. Did you find the article, Lloyd?
It's actually a tweet directly from Rainbow Six Siege.
Okay,
I'm trying
good.
To paste it, but it was too long for the chat message.
Of course.
Let me do this now. There we go. So PC and Stadia, Luna Crossplay, console crossplay, and then early 2022 crossplay available between all platforms.
Okay. All right. Between all platforms. That's good. That's very good. Oh, you know what? You could, when we get to our next chance, you can try and share your screen and we can see if that works the way that we thought it was going to work. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So that's good. I'm glad that my worries there were unfounded. That means that their graphics department dropped the ball big time during that particular part of it, because there was literally a wall between the two, and that was very confusing.
Yeah, because they're doing it in stages, and even the text of the tweet is PC Stadia, Luna crossplay, console crossplay, cross progression.
Cross progression.
That's true. It is cross progression. It doesn't say cross play. Oh, maybe.
Yeah, I think that what they're doing is they're taking the people who have access to a mouse and keyboard and putting them all together, and then taking the consoles and putting them on their own, because that means that they don't have to deal with, all right, let's interpret what input device they're using. And I think that that's a big mistake. I think that they should do what Fortnite does, where they just say, all right, let's put you guys together, and if somebody in your team is using a mouse and keyboard, then you're up against the mouse and keyboard people.
Right. Yeah, that would be the proper way to do it. I'm sure I saw crossplay, but anyway, it doesn't really matter. That'll come out as we get further into the beta that they're doing with crossplay.
Yeah.
Because just playing with PC people, I'm not going to want to play with PC people.
No,
I don't want to play against mouse and keyboards when I have a controller. So if that's the only way that I'm going to be able to play Siege, I just won't play Siege.
Same. And I mean, let's be honest, you and I are not PvP guys, so we're probably not super into Siege anyway. But for everybody else out there who is into Siege, you're not going to want to play it with a controller, which means you're not going to be playing it on your big TV. You're going to need to play it on a computer, or you're just going to get destroyed all the time, because mouse and keyboard is a huge advantage over using a controller. All right, let's move on. I'm not going to say the most. I think Rainbow Six Extraction is the one that I'm most excited about, but the other one that I'm very excited about is Riders Republic. They showed off some more from Riders Republic. That looks awesome. They showed this cool thing, and I'm going to use an example that younger people are going to be like, I don't know what that is. But, you know, when Qbert would hop on a block and it would change the color of the block every time he hopped on it, right? So basically they have these points that you can do tricks on, and as you use them, they will switch from, I'm going to say blue to red. I can't remember the actual colors. They'll change color, indicating that you've already used that. So you and your team can get together, do a bunch of tricks off these things, but then once everything is set to the I've used it color, then you're done, and then your point total is then compared against other teams. I think that is a really cool implementation of this massively multiplayer snowboarding extreme sports ridiculousness. I can't wait to play this game. It comes out on September 2nd. What did you think of what they showed off there?
Yeah, Riders Republic looks like a fun sandbox to go have fun with your friends. The mode that you showed off where you're doing tricks to color whatever skate park you're in, I said it's like Tony Hawk crossed with Splatoon. That's kind of an interesting mode that I'm actually really interested in checking out. But yeah, like the big, huge race that they showed off, there's people on bikes, there's people on like jet skates or something, there's jet packs, there's wingsuits, there's like all these different ways for people to race. And if they could make it so that everybody has the same sort of chance to win these huge races, that would be quite the undertaking. And it would actually be a heck of a lot of fun to be racing against friends when you're on a bike, but they're flying through hoops because they have a wingsuit on and they have to do extra stuff that you don't have to when you're going downhill. Just looks like a lot of stupid fun. It also looks like a lot of cosmetics are going to be sold. So that'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Are they all unlockable by doing well, getting your points like they were talking about in the trailer? Or is there going to be stuff that is only available through microtransactions and in-app purchases and things like that?
I mean, I'm ready to be wrong. I hope that I'm not wrong. I hope that this is a free-to-play game. I hope it's a free-to-play game, and they have a cash shop where you're like, get this Monster Energy drink decal for your snowboard because I won't spend any money on that, and I will just, you know, I'll be the default skin, as the kids say when they're talking about the Fortnite. I'll be the default skin, and I don't care because I'm just sliding down a hill and it looks really fun. And that's really what I'm interested in. And if it is what's that?
It's up for pre-order on Ubisoft's website right now for $80 Canadian.
Damn
it. So it's going to be a full retail game.
Okay. Well then
by the looks of it,
I really hope that they don't have microtransactions in it, but I fully anticipate that they will have both. My guess, you're not going to like this, Lloyd. Mm. They're going to have, they will have microtransactions, full price, and a battle pass or a board pass or whatever that they're, mountain pass. Wait, what do they call it? A chairlift pass.
Your rider rep. You have to level up your rider rep. Get from 1 to 100, and then it resets randomly, and you have to buy another rep pass to get more rep. Because it's all about the rep when you're going down the side of a hill, Bill.
That's so disappointing. I was really hoping it was going to be free to play. All right. Speaking of games that are not free to play, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, they talked about the Siege of Paris. It's getting 2 full years of support because it sold so well. You've got to be super excited about this, the library mode, the extra content. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the museum mode in Assassin's Creed Origins, being able to learn about the pyramids and all that stuff. I thought was incredibly cool. Bringing that to kind of like Viking worlds makes me super happy. Being descendants of Vikings, I don't know much about my people from thousands of years ago, so learning some of that would be really, really cool. The 2 years of support makes me think that there's going to be season pass two, which we'll have to pick up to get all that new DLC. So it'll be cool to see kind of what comes. They've built a game that has hundreds of hours of content if you want, and adding more to it is just going to add more content to a game that people love being in already. Some amazing visuals from when you're going to the different worlds, we'll say, to just walking around the snow, to going through the kind of like the rolling countrysides. Such a beautiful game, and I can't wait to explore it for an extra year with additional content.
Yeah, I didn't finish the original game. I probably put 30 hours into it and got distracted by something else. And so I'm not excited about this, but for everybody out there that loves jumping into these open world games and just pouring hours upon hours into them and exploring every nook and cranny of the world, that's awesome. And I'm very excited for all of those people. And this looks really fantastic. And I love that idea of the museum mode or whatever it is that they call it. I think that that's really, really cool. But 2 years of support for Valhalla, that's fantastic. That also means you're going to continue to spend money on that game, because this is not all free DLC. I'm sure that unless you got like the super fancy edition at the beginning, does that include all DLC?
I think it only includes the season pass one. If they come out with another season pass, that usually isn't included. If they did, I'd be super happy. But I think a lot of this stuff would be included if you have Ubisoft Plus as well, because Ubi tends to include a good chunk of DLC, maybe not all the DLC, in some of their games with Ubisoft Plus. So maybe that'll be a way for people to experience this stuff.
Fair. Okay, let's move on to Far Cry 6. We got to see a cutscene. The cutscene was amazing. The acting was absolutely top-notch. What a surprise. I can't wait to play this game. This is my first Far Cry game. And I don't know that I would be excited about it if I hadn't seen Giancarlo Espinosa as the El Presidente guy.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have been as excited about it, but everything that I see for this game is really cool. How did this push your hype level even more, or are you already at maximum hype?
I'm pretty much at maximum. I was maximum hype when I saw the first screenshot like 2 years ago or a year ago when they started talking about this game. Giancarlo Esposito is one of the best character actors from recent memory, with Breaking Bad and Star Wars and now Far Cry. And he's a guy that I both want to have a beer with and chat with. And also, if he looks at me angry, I want to run away crying, because he has one of those looks where he can just be as scary as he wants. That is crazy. I'm gonna put this person in a timeout.
Oh, I didn't have the chat up, so I couldn't see it. Sorry. I'm running the show, so I got 17 things on my screen here.
Yeah. Yeah, Far Cry 6, I'm really excited for it. The fact that it's taking place in kind of a smaller little world, you're in Cuba, and there's a bunch of stuff that's happening around that. I'm just really excited. And the DLC pack that they announced, or the season pass that they announced, where there's going to be separate kind of modes for all the various enemies from Far Cry 3, 4, and 5. I don't understand what that is. I don't understand how that's going to work, but man, am I there for it, because Far Cry games from 3, we'll say Far Cry 1 and 2 kind of don't count. The enemies or the big bad are some of the most fleshed out characters that I've experienced in video games. They have purpose, they have character traits, they have wants, they have needs, and the acting and voice acting is just phenomenal for them. So being able to do a Pagan Min mission and then go to a Joseph Seed mission, I think that's going to be really cool. It'll be interesting to see how that all rolls out.
And then they kind of teased something, and I don't think anybody really understands what is going on there, because they showed off the logo for Far Cry Blood Dragon, but then they didn't say anything about it.
Yeah. It looks like it's just Blood Dragon is going to be included with it, where in the past they've had, like, if you buy the Super Deluxe Mega Edition, you get this old game included for free as a digital download. So I think that's all it is. They're giving us Blood Dragon, something that maybe a lot of people haven't played because it came out in the Far Cry 3 era.
Okay, that makes sense. Understood then. All right, moving on. Avatar. This one came out of nowhere. Oh, this one, like... And you called it like right away, because we were in our community Discord. We had opened up the arcade, which is like this channel where we can just talk to people, and we were just kind of talking about it while we were watching. And Lloyd's eyes are sharp. He saw a little thing skitter across the ground, and he goes,
"Little lizard,
is this Avatar?" And I was like, "How the hell would he know that?" And then, bam, it was Avatar, not Avatar the Last Airbender, but Avatar the James Cameron. film is in. Now we're getting this. It's called Avatar. I closed the window. Frontiers of Pandora. It's supposed to be an open world game, which comes out in 2022. It is coming to Xbox Series X, PS5, and Stadia, and I assume PC as well. But notice that there's not old gen stuff, just the new gen stuff. So they are bringing Stadia stuff along with next gen consoles.
Right.
I'll let you get started on that. What do you think?
Well, for one, then the number one good thing that I like seeing is we have a confirmed game for 2022. So everybody's saying that this is the last year of Stadia, and they're just finishing off all the contracts they have.
It's dead, man. It's dead.
It's so dead. That is obviously not true. So we're going to be playing Stadia up into 2022. And the fact that this game will not run, I'm taking a lot of liberties because they haven't announced why it's not coming to PS4 or Xbox One. My assumption is it won't run on the old consoles because of hardware limitations. So that means that Stadia is now going to be bundled with the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5 version as far as like feature completeness is going to be. So what is that going to be? Is that going to be Ubisoft 100% maxing out the current blades that Stadia launched with? Are they going to use all the teraflops and megabobs and whizzle wuzzles that are included in the first gen Stadia blades? Or is this going to be hardware upgrades required for this support? So we're going to have lots of stuff to talk about over the next year or so. I'm assuming this game is going to be a fall 2022 release. So we're probably a year and a bit away. This makes me really excited. It means that not only is Stadia continuing into next year, which we all knew it was going to, but the thought of better hardware, better looking games running on the thing that I already didn't pay for, because you don't pay for Stadia, you just pay for a controller. That gets me really, really excited. And I can't wait to see more from just what Avatar, what the open world is going to be like, because that trailer, they showed off walking around on ground, they showed off the mechs, but then they also showed off the amazing flying that was such a huge part of the movie, as one of the first real 3D movies that people lined up to go see at IMAX. I just can't wait to dive off a cliff on one of those flying dinosaur birds, lizard things, and just get that sense of speed as you're falling from these flying islands. I couldn't be more excited for Avatar Frontiers of Pandora.
Yeah, I'm super excited for it. I like the idea that it is an open world game. They didn't say it was an open world game right away. I think you went out and dug up a tweet that said it was an open world game.
It was in the press release that Ubisoft sent out. Yeah.
Yeah. So they put it in the press release, but they didn't put it in the actual video. I think that this looks fantastic. Obviously, everything that we saw for this game is all just like pre-rendered nonsense. So we don't actually know what the game is going to look like. But
for sure,
the fact that it's not going to be running on last gen hardware means it's going to probably be a pretty game. And I'm certainly not a graphics snob, but I can also appreciate when things look really good. And I'm excited to see what they do here. Although a part of me really wishes it was an Avatar The Last Airbender game instead, because I love Avatar The Last Airbender.
You can go play that already. Just go get an old Xbox 360 and you can get, I think, 1,000 gamer score in 5 seconds just by holding down a button. I think that's how that game works.
There you go. Oh, man, you and your achievements, man. All right. So that was the Ubisoft Forward event. A lot of really good announcements. I fully anticipate that we're going to see some announcements at the Square Enix event, which is happening. Is that later today, right?
Yeah, I think it is later today. Let me dig up. I have an image saved in my camera roll because my brain is not functioning these days when it comes to remembering dates. So yeah, come on, open up. So yeah, we have Xbox and Bethesda at 10 a.m. Pacific, Square Enix at 12:15 Pacific, and then the PC Gaming Show, Future Game Show, and Warner Brothers Games coming up later today. So we could get some more Stadia announcements today. Some more logos being shown off.
Or not shown off. I think that what we'll probably see is we will see games that are coming to Stadia, and they may or may not tell us that they're coming to Stadia, which I don't really understand that. Like, just tell us what platforms, or just say PC, consoles, and cloud and leave it at that. That's fine as well. It's kind of weird when they don't say it and then it comes to that platform. But, you know, it's all about those deals. Who decides when things are going to be said? That's between the publishers and the platform holders to decide. All right. Yep. Let's move on to Google TV finally to support Stadia. This is kind of a big deal. A lot of us are... This came out on...
Monday.
So this is... We haven't had we haven't talked about this on the show yet. It's going to support the Chromecast with Google TV, the Hisense Android Smart TV, the NVIDIA Shield TV and Shield TV Pro, the ONN FHD streaming stick, which is, I guess, these low-cost streaming sticks from Walmart, the Philips Android TVs, and the Xiaomi Mi Box 3 and Mi Box 4. That is a lot of Android TVs that are suddenly going to have the Stadia app. I don't know if it's going to be installed when you update or you have to go out and download the app yourself, but right. I'm going to be unplugging my Chromecast. That's for sure. Are you pretty excited about this?
100%. This is really good. When they originally announced the Sabrina and then it finally came out, and then they said, okay, yeah, we don't have the app ready. It's going to take, it'll be out in the first half of 2021. And that just happened right after Google basically came out and said, we're not pre-announcing things because it doesn't work well for us. So my assumption was they said the first half, it was going to be out almost right away. But turns out they needed the first half of the year to get this thing ready. So the fact that you're going to have it on the Sabrina Chromecast with Google TV device, the fact you'll be able to get it on a Shield TV Pro if you have one of those. But then all these smart TVs and low-cost streaming sticks, it's going to be huge. Microsoft recently announced that they want to have the Xbox streaming app available on TVs. So all you have to buy is an Xbox controller and you're playing Xbox games. Google seems to be beating Microsoft to the punch, which is good. to be fair, Sony did this a long time ago as well for PlayStation Now. So I'm not saying that Stadia is the first, but getting out ahead of things might be good, because people that aren't big gamers, are they going to want to buy three different controllers to play games on their TV, or are they just going to buy the first one that is available and then play those games? So this could be a really good move for Google to get up and ahead of other competitors in this regard.
You know, if you're looking for ways for Google to be ahead of their competitors in this regard, playing cloud games on a TV, Stadia is the best experience, because they have I don't have a Luna. I have a Luna controller. I don't have a Luna of Amazon Fire Stick. I assume that that's pretty much at parity with Stadia, but I don't have a Fire Stick to try it out. But the cloud controller is a big deal.
Yeah,
I play on my GeForce Now Founders account, and I don't have a cloud controller for that. And I feel the latency with the cloud controller. I don't feel the latency. And you know, if Microsoft wants to sell a Wi-Fi controller, I think that might change the game a little bit. But right now, like just a Bluetooth controller, there's going to be that latency there, and Stadia feels better than the platforms that don't have cloud controllers, in my opinion.
Totally.
Yeah, the totally. Soldier Boy console is still the best.
what I'd love to see is an open standard for Wi-Fi control, so that you can buy any Wi-Fi controller and use it with any service. That would be a really great feature for the future. Feature for the future, that's fun to say. If Microsoft and Google and Amazon and everybody can get together to come up with some sort of control standard through Wi-Fi, that could help the industry as a whole, not requiring people to buy any one particular controller. Also meaning that Google doesn't have to lose money selling these controllers for $20 or $40 or $50 when they could just say, okay, you can use any controller that you have in your house. If it's Wi-Fi, you use this app, and you can use your Xbox Wi-Fi controller to play Google Stadia on this Google Android device.
And if you don't have a Wi-Fi controller, you can use Bluetooth. And for most games, the latency really isn't that big of a deal. All right. So I think that this is awesome. I'm very excited to get rid of my Chromecast Ultras. People in chat are saying these things are going to be flooding eBay. Absolutely. They are going to be flooding eBay. You're going to see them everywhere. Speaking of buying things, if you I don't know, that was a terrible transition. if you sign up with AT&T, you can get 6 free months of Stadia Pro. They announced that earlier this week with the This Week in Stadia blog post. Half a year of Stadia Pro if you sign up with AT&T. Cool, but I'm not gonna. Do you think that there's gonna be people who see this and they're like, well, I'm suddenly going to sign up with AT&T because of this deal?
There's always people that are on the edge of their contract and they're looking for kind of the best deal to move all their phones and internet service over. So maybe a few people that are on Comcast. I don't know very many U.S. companies, so I'm only going to use the ones I know.
There's only a couple of them.
It could be. They could be a Comcast fiber person. They're using fiber, but all of a sudden they're like, oh, I can switch over to AT&T and get an AT&T fiber plan and get 6 months of Stadia Pro and the ability to buy a controller or a premier edition for $20. Yeah, maybe I will switch over. I don't think it's going to be a huge carrot, but it could be a nice little bonus for people that are really on sitting on the fence of where they want to go in the future.
I don't know, for me, I just use whoever has the best coverage where I live, and that's for me, that's Verizon. But you know, I used to have AT&T years ago. They had bad coverage where I live. I moved to someplace else, AT&T has better coverage, so I would ditch Verizon in that case. I don't see this as a differentiator enough, but I think it's cool that some people are going to be getting free Stadia Pro for 6 months. If they can take advantage of it, that's awesome. I immediately did go to Google and say, oh, because I didn't realize that AT&T had fiber, so I checked to see if they're in my area. They're not. What a surprise. Ooh. Because I live in the middle of nowhere, but, you know, that's what I get for living in the middle of nowhere. Right. Okay. The Stadia community blog kept going this week. We had our next up on Stadia, so that's 3 posts this week. Moonlighter, now officially coming to Stadia. This is a very cool game. We talked about it a little bit last week, but now it's officially coming, because last week I think it was rumored to be coming. This is from 11-Bit Studios. It is a very, very cool game. Everybody should check it out if you haven't. The combat and dungeon crawling is really, really great, and I just didn't like myself. I didn't like the shop management part of the game. Right. But for a lot of people, they're gonna think that this is fantastic. And again, the combat and dungeon crawling is top notch. Really, really good stuff.
Yeah, I was looking for my Stadia copy of the game because I love it to death. One of my kids must have it by their Switches or whatever, because I can't see it. I love Moonlighter. It is a really, really fun game. And it's one of those great titles where you can pick up and play for a half hour, put it down, come back, make more progress in a couple days or a week. It's one of those, for me at least, was one of those kind of slow burn games where I could play it over a large chunk of time. Having this on Stadia is just a no-brainer. These types of games, be able to play on your phone, on your TV, on your computer, on your Chromecast. This is a good get for Google Stadia.
Yeah, and by the way, speaking of saving money, if you are, I don't know if it's available outside of the U.S., but the Premier Edition bundle is $50 at Best Buy right now, which is a really, really good deal. You're getting a controller, a Chromecast that you'll soon throw away, but just buying the controller by itself is it's $70, right?
Yeah, $69.99, I believe.
Yeah, so you're getting it for $20 off, and then you'll also have a Chromecast Ultra that you can give to somebody if you are one of the people who signed up for that bought the Sabrina version.
Yeah, exactly. I wish they would start offering these deals in Canada. I've been holding off getting a fourth controller. I'm just waiting for some sort of sale. What I need to do is do my referrals, get 3 referrals, and then I can get a half price controller, and I think that'll be enough for me.
All right, drop your link in chat or something. So
I'd be preaching to the converted already in
oh,
chat.
Oh, that's
right,
true.
Here,
but these people are already Stadia Pro users. I forget about that.
Exactly. But yeah, all these deals that they're doing for controllers is a good thing. It shows Google's want to get a lot of controllers into the market, so that when these TV apps start coming, you might not have one yourself, but maybe your buddy bought, I don't know, one of the games, Resident Evil, say, and they have an extra controller kicking around that you can buy or borrow or whatever. Getting more of these controllers into the market is just a good thing for the longevity of the platform.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's hit the super chats that came in during the show. First off, I'd like to say thank you to Randy B for becoming a member. We really do appreciate that. Welcome to the supporters. Sukotronic sent in his their usual no message super chat, but thank you very much for the support. We appreciate it. And Paulo Lopez sent in a $5 super chat. They said, this is probably in response to our conversation about crossplay. They said PC, Luna, and Stadia are all compatible with keyboard and mouse as well as controller. That's probably why they are together as a unit. I agree with that. I just don't think it's the best implementation. Plus, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure you can hook a mouse and keyboard up to an Xbox, can't you?
Yep, you can play a lot of games on Xbox with mouse and keyboard, and I believe PlayStation supports that as well.
Okay.
For things like Fortnite, if you play with mouse and keyboard on your Xbox in Fortnite, it puts you into the PC mouse and keyboard playlist. So, yeah, it's something that's been supported for a while.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that the best way to do it, and I'll just reiterate what I said earlier, is to just look at what input devices people are using and put people with like input devices with like input devices. That was a bad sentence, but I think people understand what I'm saying. Separating them out is, I think, a mistake. It's going to mean that, you don't want to play on this. You don't want to play on this group because there's too small of a user base. I'm going to give you a perfect example, Elder Scrolls Online. I played that on my PS4. It was a bad experience for me because it took forever to find people to do a dungeon. I played it on PC and on Stadia, and getting people to do a dungeon was almost instantaneous. Like, you click the queue. I mean, of course, I don't play a DPS character in that, so that's a huge advantage for me as a healer or a tank. Right. But hitting the button and getting to go to a dungeon almost instantaneously was amazing. Doing that same thing on my PS4, I waited forever. And then sometimes I'd never get a queue, and I would have to go and do something else because the population for that particular game was so low. So I don't know. I think it's a mistake to separate things out. But what are you going to do? You're going to complain all the time, or are you going to talk about games and play them? Yep. All right. Anything else that you want to hit before we get out of here, man?
Nothing other than in the This Week in Stadia that they were showing off the AT&T stuff. They also talked about a huge amount of sales that are going on. They're having an indie game sale in the Stadia store. So you can get great games like Killer Queen Black for $16 if you didn't get it as a pro title. Lost Words, Pikuniku, Fog, Serious Sam, Super Hot. They're all super, super cheap right now. So if you're looking for a fun game to play, to take up your time between E3 presentations, there's some really great indie games that are on sale right now on Stadia.
Yeah, I would say I'm looking through the list right now, and I would say check out Just Shapes and Beats. That game is really, really cool. And also Cake Bash is a super fun game as well. But those are for people who are Stadia Pro. It looks like all of these are Stadia Pro. No, not all of them. So yep. A lot of these will say Stadia. I wish that they had blocked this out into two groups.
Well, it's like things like Cake Bash are on sale for $15 for everybody, or $14 if you have Stadia Pro. So they have some additional discounts if you're a pro member.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I wish that it had said these are the Stadia Pro deal prices, and then below it, these are the everybody prices, so that you could easily say, all right, well, I'm this person, I'm going to look at this part. But then I'm sure that they did some research and found, oh, if we put them all together, then people are going to see something and maybe they'll be more likely to sign up for pro.
Yep. Yeah, I get it.
All right. Well, that is it for today's episode. Before you guys get out of here, though, Lloyd and I are going to be watching the Xbox conference later. So look for a video on that. I'll probably end up putting out a video about the Square Enix conference. I don't know if I'll be able to put that video out today, or if it'll have to wait until tomorrow. And of course, we've got the PC conference coming, as well as Nintendo's conference, and I'm sure that there's something that I haven't thought of. So I know that the people who are listening to this show are mostly Stadia people, but chances are that there's going to be games that are announced at one of these, or all of these, that are also games that are on Stadia. And while they might not say it right away, it's always fun to find out about other games as well. So make sure that you guys click on the subscribe button, turn on notifications, so you get notified when we post something new.
Yeah, this is going to be a big, like, the Microsoft event is going to have huge sweeping repercussions to the industry, because we'll be able to see if the Bethesda games going forward are going to be multi-platform or just Xbox exclusives. So yeah. I hope they're not exclusives, because I'd love to play the next Elder Scrolls on Stadia, but we'll have to see what happens.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks for listening and watching, everybody. We will see you next time. Bye.
Take it easy, everybody.